Okay, we are looking at Hannah's life. If you turn to 1 Samuel chapter 1, please. And I'm going to start reading and you can follow along with me. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of the mountains of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zaph, an Ephraimite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. This man went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Also the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable because the Lord had closed her womb. So it was, year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, that she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? So Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head." And it happened as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, "How long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you." And Hannah answered and said, "No, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now." Then Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition, which you have asked of him." And she said, "Let your maidservant find favor in your sight." So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Then they arose early in the morning and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to their house at Ramah, and Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, "Because I have asked for him from the Lord." And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow, but Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, "I will not go up until the child is weaned. Then I will take him, that he may appear before the Lord and remain there forever." And Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only let the Lord establish his word." So the woman stayed and nursed her son until she had weaned him. Now when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with 3 bulls, 1 ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. Then they slaughtered a bull and brought the child to Eli. And she said, "O my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord." So they worshipped the Lord there. And I'm going to keep reading. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. There is none holy like the Lord, for there is none besides you, nor is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let no arrogance come from your mouth, for the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and those who stumbled are girded with strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, and those who were hungry have ceased to hunger. Even the barren has borne 7, and she who has many children has become feeble. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and brings up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and lifts up. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the beggar from the ash heap to set them among princes and make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. He will guard the feet of his saints, but the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength no man shall prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken in pieces. From heaven he will thunder against them. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. Then Elkanah went to his house at Ramah, but the child ministered to the Lord before Eli the priest. And then down in verse 18. But Samuel ministered before the Lord even as a child, wearing a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother used to make him a little robe and bring it to him year by year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. And Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife and say, "The Lord give you descendants from this woman for the loan that was lent to the Lord." Then they would go to their own home, and the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bore three sons and two daughters. Meanwhile, the child Samuel grew before the Lord. Okay, and I want to just take a... I'm going to interrupt for a minute. Kathy, will you open that curtain, please, so if people come in late, they can sneak over there and not cross and disturb people. Thank you. Well, good lessons from Hannah. I just loved going over the homework and allowing the Lord to speak to my heart through that. Hannah had a very, very difficult trial in her life. Perhaps this is one of the most difficult trials for a woman, especially a woman who really desires children. This can, speaking from my own heart, my own life would be extremely difficult. And her trial was not only hard just because of she had no children, but it was even intensified more because of Peninnah, who provoked her, who mocked her, who just rubbed it in all day, every day. They lived in the same home. Having two wives in the same home, you know, of course it's not God's design, and it's certainly not a good idea at all. And I don't know anything but this about Peninnah, and she was not a very nice woman to have all these sons and daughters and mock Hannah, who was barren. And the same thing can happen to us when we are in the midst of a trial. We have an enemy who likes to mock us, who likes to just rub it in and really try to provoke us and maybe get us to the point of self-pity and really where we're just kind of hindered by that. We are all in trials at various times. You know, we raised hands. You're either in a trial, you just came out of a trial, or most likely you're heading into a trial. Some trials are absolutely huge. Some are annoyances. Some are, you know, anywhere in between there. But at any given time, we can find ourselves in a trial. Some last 5 minutes, some last 5 years or a lifetime. But Hannah's trial and our trials, Hannah's trial was working for her. God had a plan and he had a purpose and he was working in her life. And I would like you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians because, you know, I could read this verse to you, but it's sometimes it's good. 2 Corinthians 4, just for you to see it, for you to read it, and if you don't have these verses underlined, I don't know, maybe you haven't known the Lord very long or haven't read them, but this is one of the first ones I had yellowed. In verse 16, 17, and 18 in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it says that we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us. And if you don't have those two words underlined, you might want to do that, before us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Our light affliction. Now, if you would have told Hannah that what she was going through was a light affliction, she might have hit you or something. She, you know. But in light of eternity, it is a light affliction. Even if we live 75, 85 years here, what is that compared to eternity? It's just a blip. It is for a moment. But we see there in verse 17 that our trials, our affliction, hardship, whatever pain or sorrow or heartache, whatever it might be, is working for us. And maybe you needed to be reminded of that this morning, that the trial that you are in or the trial that may be around the corner is working for you, never against you. That's not the heart of God, to work against you, but to work for you. He has a plan and He has a purpose. And do you know that? And even if you have these verses underlined, do you believe them? And not just in the head, but in the heart. Experience them and really walk in faith, knowing that your trial is working for you. And do you know this morning that God is for you? He's for you. He is never against you. Ever. Ever. And I think there's a lot of Christians who are very insecure in that. They don't understand or believe that God is for them. And maybe throughout your life you've been rejected. Maybe there hasn't been any kind of security. Maybe every person that you've placed your trust in has deceived you, has then just left you there. But God remains the same. His love for you remains the same. He is for you. Psalm 56, 8 through 11 tells us, speaking of the Lord, "You number my wanderings, put my tears into your bottle. Are they not in your book? When I cry out to you, then my enemies will turn back. This I know, because God is for me. In God I will praise His word. In the Lord I will praise His word. In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" That was Psalm 56, 8 through 11. "This I know, because God is for me." Maybe you needed to be reminded of that this morning, that God is for you. Psalm 118, 6 says, "The Lord is on my side." Isn't that wonderful? You can walk through this day or this trial that you're in, and you can say, "The Lord is on my side." You've got to beat then. I mean, you won. The Lord is on my side. Romans 8 says, "If God is for us, who can be against us? For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." God is for you. Nothing can make Him be against you. If you turned your back on Him today, He would be for you. His heart would be for you. His love would remain the same, and He would try to draw you back. Psalm 138:8 says, "The Lord will perfect that which concerns me." And that was my verse a few years ago for 2 years in a row. I needed that one. "The Lord will perfect that which concerns me." He's for me. He's with me. And so in your time of trial, whatever that might be, maybe you're in Hannah's place. Maybe you are barren. Maybe you are in a trial of, you're barren in the way that you don't have a husband and you want a husband. Or maybe there's financial troubles. Or maybe there's other relationship problems, job problems, or whatever it might be. Know that God is for you, and that trial is working in you and it's working for you, never against you. Now, Hannah, in the bitterness of soul, laid her trial at the Lord's feet, which is the only place for us to take our trial. She gave her trial to the Lord through prayer. And every single one of those songs that we sang this morning just confirms, and most of them were from the Word, they just confirm that. He's our rock. Hear my cry, O Lord. Attend to my prayer. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Just pouring your heart out to the Lord. Psalm 62:8 says, "Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour or spill your heart out before Him. God is a refuge for us." We are to pour our heart, spill our heart out to the Lord. Too many times when we get in these trials, when we are overwhelmed, we remain there a lot of times because we don't go to the Lord in prayer. We think about it. We analyze it. We pick it apart. We want to, you know, take it out, look at it, and see and try to figure it out. And what does that do? It just makes you even more overwhelmed, and then you really go crazy. Psalm 55:22, "Cast your burden on the Lord, and He shall sustain you." Cast your burden on the Lord. If you saw that little animated video on Pilgrim's Progress where little Pilgrim had that backpack on his back and he was walking through and he went up to the cross, and then that wonderful song came on, and then the pack, he just released all his burden. He cast his burdens on the Lord. And that's just a wonderful word picture for us. Something that we can see, that we go to the Lord and just cast our burdens, spill our hearts out to Him. I love that old song, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." And that one part that says, "Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." And that is so true. The times in my life when I'm agitated, when I'm feeling overwhelmed, when I'm just, this trial is just closing in on me, and it continues to do that, it's because I have forfeited my peace, because I have not given it to the Lord in prayer. Talking about it doesn't mean you've cast it at the Lord's feet. And I'm a great talker to myself. You know, I talk to myself all the time, out loud and silently. But I can talk and talk and talk and talk in my head all day long about this trial that I'm in. And it's just pits. It's terrible. It's rotten. And there's no peace. But as soon as I take it to the Lord in prayer, when I spill my heart and I cast my burden to the Lord, oh, there's peace. Has anything changed? Only my heart. My situation hasn't changed, but my heart has changed. And maybe you needed to be reminded of this. I sure do. All the time, you know, you think you're doing okay, and this trial hits, and again, you need to be reminded. Pray. Cast it at the Lord's feet. Cast all your cares on Him, because He cares for you. And the Lord is the one that I must run to. Not my husband first, not my best friend first, not my mother first, or whoever else might be around, but the Lord. Sometimes the Lord will have me talk to somebody else, because sometimes it's just good to hear the words out of your mouth, and then He ministers to you while you're speaking, and that person, you know, hasn't said a word. They've just kind of been that sounding board. But He needs to be the one I run to first. He's my help. And as Hannah was praying, and up before this, now it said that, we don't know how much time has gone on. Now, Peninnah had sons and daughters. So she had sons and daughters. Even if she had two of each, that's at least 4 or 5 years, if you, you know, boom, boom, boom. So 4 or 5 years could be 10 years, could be 15 years. I mean, this could have been a long trial for Hannah. And each year, Peninnah would provoke her as they went up to make the sacrifice. But it wasn't until this year that Hannah, in bitterness of soul, then poured out her heart to the Lord. Now, quite possibly and probably she had prayed before. She had poured out her heart to the Lord before, but not like she did this time. Because through prayer and through seeking the Lord, our hearts are moved. Our hearts are turned toward the right direction, toward the Lord. So at this point in time, Hannah's heart was in that place that God wanted it to be. And it quite possibly took him that many years, to allow it to happen, that her heart would then be moved and be changed. And that would be full surrender. Because she surrendered herself, but she didn't just surrender herself. She surrendered her prayer, the answer to prayer, to the Lord. Now, sometimes we can surrender to the Lord and we're praying for this certain thing and we get that answered and it's mine. It's mine and nobody's touching it. But she got to that place where this answer to prayer that she wanted, which was a son, she was going to surrender. She was going to surrender, which is unbelievable. I mean, what this woman is incredible to me. When you want something as bad as she did, and something doesn't matter, a child, and yet she's willing to give him back to the Lord, and this is physically, you know, not just I'm going to raise him in the Lord, it's just, I'm going to give him to the priest who didn't raise his own kids very well. She was incredible, but the Lord worked in her heart. And, you know, the Lord, knowing everything, knowing all things before the beginning began, he had a plan, he had a purpose, and he knew he would call Samuel, and he would raise Samuel up to be the last judge of Israel, to lead his people, to be a prophet before him, to speak forth for him. And God knew, I want this man, this child who hasn't even been conceived, I have plans for him. How am I going to get his mother to cooperate? How is that going to work? I have to work in her heart and her life. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, the Lord says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So God works in ways that we can't even comprehend. I don't understand all of this. But he had to get Hannah to that place where she would surrender her child so that the Lord could work in his life. And if that meant keeping her barren for those years, then that's what he is going to do and did do. Whatever it means in my life, it could mean something entirely different. I don't understand how the Lord works in my life. I don't understand why things happen the way that they happen. I don't understand that. But I trust him. His ways are not my ways. Thank you, Lord. And his thoughts are much higher than my thoughts. Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa tells his story, excuse me, that when his mother was pregnant with him, that she had his sister already, Virginia, and she attends here on Sunday nights, and she was very, very sick, to death sick. And I'm not going to get all the details right, but she ran to the local church down the street, the block away or something like that, and to heal my daughter, you got to pray for my daughter, you know. And she made a vow to the Lord, if you heal my daughter, I will give you this son. Now look what God has done in Pastor Chuck's life. He has affected thousands and thousands and thousands of people throughout the world. Why did Virginia get sick like that? Was it because God had to bring Chuck's mom to that place? You know, I don't know. His ways are not our ways, but he works in our hearts so that our will becomes his will. So our will goes right in line with his will. It tells us that he works in us both to will and to do for his good pleasure. So maybe you are struggling in a trial, and maybe you need to take it to the Lord in prayer. Maybe you need to pour out your heart to Him. No maybe about it. You need to do that and lay it at His feet, and then allow the Lord to bring your heart to that place of surrender. Now, Hannah, as we'll see in a minute, her prayer was answered exactly how she prayed it. Now, there are times where the Lord does not answer our prayers exactly how we pray them, because His ways are not our ways. His plan and His purpose is far greater than ours. And so this thing that we want to be delivered from, or this thing that we want, may not be a part of His plan. In Hannah's case, it was. But whatever, I must get to that place of full surrender. Now, Hannah made a vow to the Lord, and if you did your homework, or if you didn't do your homework, I would encourage you to go back and read those verses on vows, so that you would see the seriousness of making a vow to the Lord. Hannah kept hers. What a difficult vow. She's going to turn over this child, and, you know, it was when he was weaned, at least 3 years, maybe more years, you know, dragging this weaning process out, because I don't want to give up my son. I don't know how long it would be to then turn him over to a priest whose sons were rotten. And you're going to leave your child there? But she made a vow to the Lord, and she kept it. And that just speaks to my heart, and hopefully the Lord spoke to your heart, or if not, you can go back and look at those verses and be very careful with what you promised the Lord. Now, Hannah poured out her heart to the Lord, and Eli the priest watched her and thought she was drunk, and she said, "No, I'm just in bitterness of soul. I'm pouring my heart out to the Lord." And then he said to her, "Go in peace. The God of Israel grant your petition that you've asked Him." Now, at this point in time, she gets up, she ate, and her face was no longer sad. Now, the only thing that she had to go on was the word of the priest. That was it. There wasn't any lightning, handwriting on the wall, any kind of, she didn't feel, you know, the baby all of a sudden, you know, come in her womb or anything like that. She had this man's word that says, go your way and God will grant you your desire. Now we have the word of God. His promises and His are true, and He is faithful to them. And yet, how many times do we read the word of God, do we hear the word of God, and then get up and our face hasn't changed? And we don't go eat, and we don't believe. And yet she had this man's word, and she believed. 1 John 5:14-15 says, "Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him." Do you have this kind of confidence? Knowing that if you pray according to God's will, He hears you and He answers you. Do you have that confidence? You should. We should. If we pray according to His will. Now, a lot of our prayers are not according to His will. It can be a desire of your heart. But as Jesus prayed, "Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." I can be real specific in my prayer, in my request, and that's okay. When I finish it by, "Lord, this is the desire of my heart. This is my so-called wisdom that I think would be best for me in this situation or best for that person. But Lord, You know. Nevertheless, not my will, but Yours be done." And then I have confidence knowing that He will answer. I love when we pray on those Friday mornings, and the Lord leads our prayers. He guides our prayers. He lays on our heart those things to pray for you. And we can leave with confidence knowing that He is working in your lives and our lives also, because we have prayed according to His will. So again, Hannah went her way. She ate, and her face was no longer sad. And then in verse 20, it said, so it came to pass in the process of time. And I thought that was interesting. In the verse before, it said that Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Knew, you know, they were together. They were intimate together. But then the next verse, so it came to pass in the process of time. How long of a time was it? I don't know how long of a time it was. In the process of time. So it wasn't like this instant answer to prayer. But she remained walking in faith. And we must have faith. We must believe that God will answer our prayers. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. I must believe. When I pray, I must believe. I must have faith. Confidence. Knowing that God will answer my prayer in whatever way He sees fit. His will, according to His will. Now, the answer a lot of times is no. Not right now. You know, you pray for a healing, you know, and you want it now, kind of a thing. But He chooses not to. Why? I have no idea, but I must trust Him. So, these wonderful lessons from Hannah, that the trials that are in our lives are working for us, never against us, that God is for us. God is for you. The Lord is on your side. And then prayer, that wonderful privilege that we have. What does the world do when they are in bitterness of soul? There's no release. There's no peace. We have the blessed privilege of carrying everything to the Lord in prayer. We can pour our hearts out to Him. We know that God is working in our hearts both to will and to do for His good pleasure. How I need that. We were talking, as we were praying this morning, we were talking about Him changing our heart. I want Him to work in my heart. You know, these prayers that I pray, well, I think they're fine, but I want Him to work in my heart. So my heart is like His heart, and they will be changed. And then that faith, that confidence, knowing that He will answer the prayer that I've prayed according to His will. And then that faithfulness and commitment to the vow, to a promise that I have made the Lord. And then I love what Hannah does, which is just thank You for Your word and the reminder this morning, Lord. I thank You that though we may be in a very difficult trial, Lord, that Your word tells us that it's but for a moment and that it is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. We thank You for that, Lord. And I thank You for the privilege of prayer, that we don't have to be anxious, Lord, but in everything we can pray and let our requests be made known to You. And then Your peace that passes all understanding will rule in our hearts and our minds. Lord, help us to spill our hearts over to You, Lord, and then help us to believe. Help us to have confidence in You, that You are working, that You will answer, Lord, the way that is best, the way that would be best for us and that would glorify You, Lord. And Father, I pray that You would help us once again to praise You ahead of time for the answer to prayer, to praise You in the midst of trial, to praise You for the victory, Lord. You are worthy of our praise. Thank You that You are a big God and that You care for us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.